Welcome back to another episode of Fractional. My name is Chris Capone, and on our podcast, we talk about the intersection of lifestyle and business development and how to live the dream. And today, I'm very fortunate to have my good friend and colleague, Zach Adair. He is the owner of NCOAE. Zach, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. It's really cool that you're here this morning.
I appreciate it. It's good to be here.
So, please introduce yourself and tell us about NCOAE and everything about it.
Yeah, so NCOAE is the National Center for Outdoor and Adventure Education. It is a values-based outdoor and adventure education.
NCOAE, National Center for Outdoor and Adventure Education. Uh-huh. You guys, tell us a little bit about about the business and how you founded the business.
The business was founded on a passion for the outdoors. It started back in probably the early 90s. I guess it's okay just to go right into the history.
Yeah, tell us about how you founded NCOAE and the driving factors of your the catalyst and your desire and want to be able to build something that educates people, not in the classroom but more on skills of life and some survival type skills in education, right?
Yeah, just to some extent, Chris. It's interesting, right? It's you always hear this cliche of if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life, right?
Right.
So back in the early 1980s when I started surfing, I grew up in St. Augustine Beach, and I remember my first surfboard. I think it was a 1981 Ocean Pacific. Olive green with glassed in fins.
Folks got I love out. How you like you remember your first surfboard, yeah, right?
Man. And it was, I think neon was in high regard back in the 80s. So it was a neon orange and neon blue surfboard leash. So being in the water was kind of my first introduction to the adventure, right? And from there in the mid 1980s. My dad moved us up to the mountains, North Georgia, Western North Carolina, mm-hmm. and I remember going on a rock climbing trip and a rappelling trip, and the exhilarating feeling of going off a rock at 150 feet or climbing to the top of the summit, and coming back down it was. I just wanted more of it.
Yeah. How did you get it? So, going from, living in St. Augustine and surfing and then, moving up to the mountains, I guess was your dad very much into the outdoors?
Not at all, man. He was a contractor. He was a contractor and a hairdresser.
No way. So he was interesting combination.
Yeah, right. So he was a contractor just as a hobby. He loved to build homes. And so we moved around a lot, not unintentionally, but intentionally, right?
Right.
He would build a home and he would sell it when the market was right.
Yep.
And then we'd go build another home.
Yep.
And build a spec home. So I grew up also running around in rafters and jumping in and out of framed up windowsills.
That's so cool.
Right. So just back to defining my love for the outdoors and somewhere around the early 90s, I graduated high school and dabbled into college. It really wasn't my thing. And I remember driving through Western North Carolina one afternoon, trying to figure out what my next move was going to be. College really wasn't working out for me.
Yeah.
And that was because of the choices that I chose to make. Right? There was college was a lot of fun.
Right.
College was a lot of fun. So I'm driving through the mountains trying to figure out my next move. I'd been climbing a little bit. I remember the first pair of La Sportiva climbing shoes that I purchased and a harness and climbing rope. And so I was dabbling into climbing a little bit. I had a couple friends on the side that I would hook up with on the weekends. I remember driving through the Nantahala Gorge and seeing these guys paddling down the river. And I pulled over and just watched for a little while. And I jumped back in into my truck and pulled into the next rafting company. I think it was called River Runners back then, and went in and applied for a job, and that was, I was hooked at that point.
Yeah.
You know, I started running rivers then, and for the next several years, I was living out of the back of my truck, running rivers in the summer. I was in the Nantahala and the Ocoee and the Pigeon and the Golly and the New River, and in the winter times, the crew and I would, we'd head out west and ski in Utah and Colorado.
Yeah.
And that was lifestyle for a while.
Yeah.
You know?
And so, and I think kind of what, you know, what I, you know, should have started with, because people that don't know you, and if they were to look at you, they wouldn't know that you're legally blind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there were, you lived the first half of your life, and then there was an incident which led you to become blind.
Mm-hmm.
And you built this business out of a love for the outdoors,
mm-hmm.
but you also did it as someone that was blind, which is just, I mean, unbelievable, man. I mean, to build a business is hard to do on its own, and you did it from, you know, a perception of, you know, not be, you know, from a completely different perception. So tell us the story, or tell us how you got, you know, living the life of the outdoors, and then an incident happened, which we'll, you know, we'll talk about a little bit, a mm-hmm. little bit later, because I want to hear that story. But National Center for Outdoor and Adventure Education, what do you guys do? And, you know, what are the different things that you guys offer? You have EMS, you have outdoor and wilderness education. Tell us about some of the things about NCOE, so we know what your business does.
Good. Our mission is to deliver handcrafted, adventure-based educational experiences to teenagers and adults interested in personal growth, professional development, and stewardship in our natural world. And we do, Chris. We have a couple different programs that we run at NCOE. The outdoor education. We run programs all over the world, from Patagonia, Chile, Ecuador, to the Pisgah National Forest here in Western North Carolina, the Oregon. We run a bunch of trips on the Deschutes River.
Yep.
We run trips in the Wrangell St. Elias in Alaska, and it's all based on, you know, outdoor education, backpacking and mountaineering and whitewater paddling and teaching leadership skills and decision making and problem solving, right?
Yep.
Critical thinking and values and really skills that most of us would benefit from,
right?
Right, not
exactly.
Just teens, but also adults and how do we take care of ourselves? How do we take care of our communities? And what's the impact that we're making?
Yeah,
right. So that's kind of one component of our school. The other component is, as you mentioned, the EMT training. So
and was that, and if I remember, the EMT, was that kind of like the part where you kind of started the business was with the mm-hmm. EMT training?
No, it was with the outdoor ed.
Okay. So yeah. It was, you started with the outdoor ed.
Yeah, it was, we started with outdoor ed, and then mm-hmm. we moved into, wilderness medicine, which is, you know, the first aid, the wilderness first aid, wilderness first responder courses,
right.
In order to offer those, I had to become an EMT. So I went and took an EMT class.
Got it. Yeah.
And, man, I just love the curriculum. I love learning about the anatomy and the physiology and how our bodies work and the pathophysiology and what happens when it's broken and then how to fix it.
Yep.
Right? And so I took that that desire to open up the wilderness medicine programs
yep.
just to the next level.
Yep.
Right? And said, okay, so I took a program. I thought that I could do it too.
Yeah. So were you, when you started this, were you in the field doing some of the training, or had you already hired people to, you know, kind of, you know, execute on mm-hmm. the plans and the trainings that you had developed?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go back in time a little bit more.
Okay.
All right. Let's go back to where, we'll pick up after my years on the river and after my years, snow skiing out west.
Yeah.
In the late 90s, I ended up coming back to North Carolina.
Yep.
Wrightsville Beach.
Yep.
Right. And I came back because some friends invited me to go down to Costa Rica on a surf trip. And I hadn't surfed in a couple years, man, because I was on the river and I was on the rock and I was in the snow and I was that's where I wanted to be. at the time. And I got this invitation to go down to Costa Rica. This was in the late 90s. And I went with some friends, and then I wanted to be on the beach again.
Yep.
So I moved to Wrightsville Beach, and I was here for a couple years. The waves were kind of subpar, so I went up to the Outer Banks for a couple years.
Yep.
And
which part of the Outer Banks were you in?
I was in Kill Devil Hills.
Yeah.
I started off in Rodanthe, mm-hmm. and then from Rodanthe, the winters got really lonely in Rodanthe.
Yeah, I can imagine, man.
They get lonely there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful part of the world, but yeah, it takes a.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, you're out there.
So the following summer, I moved across the bridge, into Nag's Head and Kill Devil Hills, mm-hmm. and then it was in 2003 was when I was in a car accident. And the car accident's what resulted in the loss of my sight.
Oh my gosh, man. Mm-hmm. So you lived a full life, or you know, you lived a life, you know, being able to experience all the things in life, right? You know, seeing and all that, and then all of a sudden one day
it was gone.
An accident happens and it's gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was a struggle, you know, it was a challenge, but it's yeah, man, but we're all faced with challenges, right? It was just another mountain I needed to climb.
Well,
right? It took some time to get there.
I mean, you say that, but so many people would use that as an excuse to just be like, you know, I'm going to, you know, give up, or, you know, what can I do? But you said, no, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to keep doing what I'm going to do, and I'm also going to build a business mm-hmm. that supports my lifestyle of things that I truly like doing, outdoor education, traveling, spending time, you know, in the outdoors. I mean, so from there, you know, you have this incident, and then tell us from there the storyline from that incident to then starting the National Center for Outdoor and Adventure Education.
Yeah, that was interesting. It took some time. Right, because there's some struggles not being able to see. Right? There's lots of challenges, man.
Not
being able to see, and you know, look, Chris, we're success isn't measured when we're comfortable and things are convenient, mm-hmm. right? I think success is measured when we're faced with challenges and struggles and how we're able to address that adversity.
Yeah.
Right. And it took a couple of years to get through all the kind of the woe me's, if you will.
Right.
Right. Woe me. Why did this happen to me? I remember clearly one day sitting on the couch, and I think my father had come up to visit one weekend, and just to check on me, mm-hmm. and I was having a pretty bad morning. It was probably 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. He walked in, I was sitting on the couch, and he just kind of stared at me. And he didn't say anything. And I go, what's wrong, Pop? I said, cat, get your tongue. And he turned around and he walked out the door and he didn't say a word to me. And he got back in his truck and he drove 7 hours back to his house. Didn't say a word to me. And so I thought that was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. But I knew, you know, going through these woe me's for it had been a couple years at this point.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I gotta figure this out. Mm-hmm. Right? This is not going good. And that I think that was the catalyst that really pushed me to say, okay, there's going to be struggles. It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
And you're only going to be able to see, I mean, suck it up, man. Suck it up, buttercup.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you're going to be able to see as much as your hands and your feet are going to take you. That's it, man. So,
I mean, we're sitting here laughing about that, but I mean, mm-hmm. and the fact that you can joke and laugh about that is wild because, you know, I mean, I take for granted, you know, everything that I, you know, everything that I could do on a daily basis by myself, you know, I just completely take for granted. And every time I hang out with you, it's like, you know, a moment where I'm like, you know, I need to, you know, be grateful for, you know, for the opportunities that I have, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just a testament to your personality, your work ethic, and what you've, you know, and what you've been able to accomplish without, you know.
You know what, Chris, and I have this conversation with folks, for me, it's interesting because I think that we're all capable of this, right? Mm-hmm. Like the challenges that I've had and the struggles that I've gone through, and they're there, man. I mean, every single day I face different challenges, but you know what? So do you.
Yeah.
Okay? And my challenges aren't any better or worse than yours are, right? Our circumstances are different,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
But my challenges aren't necessarily any different than yours. I just can't see. That's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just can't see. That doesn't mean that my, so I feel like that we're all capable of that, man. We are.
Yep.
We're all capable of overcoming these adversities, yep. right? You just got to be able to dig deep enough, man.
Yep.
Right? People just got to dig deep enough to be able to do that. So, you know, moving on into the kind of NCOAE, after I realized that it was time to get up off the couch you know, I was like 30 years old then, man. I was in the prime of my life.
Yeah.
Right? And I came up with an idea to, I ended up building a couple spec homes, I think, on the side.
So were you a GC already at that point?
There wasn't such thing as licensed GCs back then.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
The license is relatively new over the past decade or so.
Okay.
Right?
Got it.
And so, But I ended up building a couple more spec homes and you know, hitting myself a couple times with a nail gun. There's some barriers associated with that, right? Oh, my goodness. And
Ouch.
Shit, ouch. and I remember it was like 2000 and – it was probably 2005.
Mm-hmm.
I was – in North Georgia, I was building a spec home in North Georgia, and I had an idea to apply to go back to school, and what I wanted to do was I wanted to get back in the outdoors. That's where I was missing being. I was missing being on the river. I was missing being in the mountains. I was missing being on the trail. I was missing being in a kayak. I was missing being on my skis.
Yep.
I hadn't skied in a while, and those places and those wild places, man. That's where I was happiest.
Yep.
Right. And it was maybe 10 years earlier, I had applied to go to a college out in Arizona called Prescott College. All right. It's a number one school for outdoor education.
Yep.
Okay. And, I ended up not going, 10 years earlier, that surf trip I was telling you about to Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. I'd actually applied to go to Prescott College during that time and ended up going to Costa Rica instead.
Yeah.
And not making it to orientation.
Yeah.
The waves were really good.
I bet.
Yeah.
I hear you.
My dad was pissed.
I bet.
Uh-huh. What are you doing in Costa Rica? So I ended up applying to Costa Rica, applying to Prescott College, and my application, I had to write that I was blind, and of course, my phone starts blowing up.
Yep.
Their orientation is a 3-week backpacking trip into the Sierra Ancas and for the orientation. And I haven't done anything other than build a couple homes. I haven't done anything in the outdoors. Hadn't been on a surfboard, hadn't skied, hadn't backpacked, haven't done anything since the accident.
Yep.
Nothing at all. So my first introduction to getting to the outdoors was going to be this 3-week backpacking trip if the college allowed me to do it.
Yep.
And it took some pushing, and they ended up agreeing to let me go.
Wow.
And man, it was fucking tough.
Yeah.
It was tough.
I couldn't imagine.
It was tough. And so I came off that trip. I came off that expedition, and
so you were backpacking for 3 weeks,
uh-huh.
as with part of orientation,
uh-huh.
with a group. But I mean, did you know anybody?
Oh, no.
No?
I took off to Arizona on my own. I got on a plane, went out there, and
unbelievable.
I was like, let's figure this out. Here we go.
That's
buckle up.
Yeah, buckle up,
buckle
man.
Buckle up. Right.
Yeah.
And so I came off the trail, and it was hard, man. It was one of the hardest things I'd ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up reaching out to Eric Weinmayer. Eric Weinmayer is the first blind guy to ever summit Everest. He's climbed the 7 tallest summits in each of the 7 continents.
No way.
Right? So I reached out to Eric, and I said, introduced myself. Hey, Eric, here's who I am. This is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You got any advice for being in the woods as a blind guy, right? I mean, you spend a lot of time there, obviously, and I need something, man. My equilibrium's all off. I can't stay on balance. It's, you know, there's no, I said, I almost feel like I need an extra set of legs and hands out there. Mm-hmm. And about a week later, I get a box from him. I open it up, and it was a pair of trekking poles. And he goes, try this.
How cool, man!
And man, I felt like a mountain goat at that point.
Oh,
I was
my
all over
gosh!
The place. And it was the fix.
How freaking cool!
Yeah, man. So he sent me some trekking poles, and that was a significant.
That was a game changer.
That was a game changer. Yeah, being in the woods. So that was kind of my first introduction, man. Being at Prescott College and finishing up my undergrad.
So what year, what time frame were you at Prescott College?
That started in 06.
06.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting.
Just a couple years after the accident.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Yep. So that was 06. And then I still didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew I was there. I knew I just wanted to be in the outdoors. And I knew that school would give it to me. And I knew that I would be, risk would be mitigated, right? I would be at a school. I'd be around other people that were enjoying doing the same stuff that I was doing,
yep,
or that I wanted to do,
right?
Right.
Yep.
And I got the support. I mean, overwhelmingly, the amount of support that I received from the college was pretty rad.
That's so cool. There's good folks out there still, huh?
Yeah, there are, and that's when I got introduced to Guide Dogs for the Blind.
Okay.
I had a buddy of mine that I was going to school with out there, and he said, hey Zach, my grandfather or my uncle sits on the board for Guide Dogs for the Blind, Santa Rafael, California.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, they got like a 2-year wait list, but I can get you in right now if you want to go. And I always pushed back on it.
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't need a guide dog. Don't need a guide dog.
Yeah,
don't
I can
need
do
a
it,
dog.
Huh?
But I ended up taking him up on his offer, and in 2007, I went to Guide Dogs for the Blind for a month, 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I got Alfred.
Alfred.
Alfred and I were together for about 15 years. Yeah, he died a bunch of years ago.
What kind of dog was Alfred?
He was a English Lab, 100% English Lab.
Oh, man. Yeah, he was your buddy, huh?
He was awesome. Yeah, so Alfred and I finished up Prescott College, then he went on some trips with me while I was there.
Yep.
And then as soon as I graduated from my undergrad, I hadn't been on a surfboard. So I'd been snow skiing, I'd been paddling, I'd been backpacking. I did everything that I was wanting to get back into, right?
Right.
As a blind guy. And I got to experience all of those. And I was like, all right, I haven't surfed yet. I got to go surf.
Heck yeah.
So I bought a ticket to Costa Rica.
No way.
And me and Alfred went to Costa Rica for a month.
No
way. I just studied.
Just you and Alfred.
Me and Alfred, a buddy met me down there.
Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
I was down there for the first week and a half, 2 weeks solo. Just mm-hmm. me and Alfred. And then a buddy of mine came, and we started surfing.
Unbelievable.
It was great.
What part of Costa Rica were you in?
I was in...
if you remember.
Yeah, I do. It was Santa Teresa and Malpais.
Okay.
Right?
Awesome.
Yeah, man. It was great.
That would have been... What year was that? 08?
Yeah, the end of 07.
07? Okay.
Yeah, so kind of what's happening in between me finishing up my undergrad and getting ready to go to Costa Rica was me trying to figure out, okay, I'm finishing up my undergrad. What am I going to do with this? What in the hell am I going to do with this outdoor ed? I mean,
yeah.
You know, no one's going to, I can't get a job guiding anywhere. No one's going to hire a blind guy, right?
Yeah.
There's too much risk associated with that. And
yep.
So what am I going to do with this? And I hope I didn't just waste a shit ton of money. what am I going to do? So I started researching. That was actually my first introduction to computers too, which was pretty strange.
Yeah, I bet.
It was like 07. Like, learning how to use a computer as a blind guy was difficult. It's still pretty challenging today.
Yeah.
And I started doing some research, just throwing everything out there, just like blind surfing guide or blind mountain guide training or blind, like something with blind people in the outdoors.
Right. Yeah.
And you know what kept popping up is as a dear friend of mine, Maui Surfer Girls. This website, MSG, kept popping up, and I never opened it up because my computer would read to me, and it says, Maui Surfer Girls, All Women Surf Camp, Maui, Hawaii.
Yeah.
Man, this was like months worth of this website. It was always front and center. So one day I was like, you know what, fuck it. And I opened it up, and it went into this description of the founder and the owner.
Yep.
Her name's Dustin Tester. You should get on your podcast.
All right.
And then her director of operations, Celine Russo. And both of these ladies were graduates of Prescott College back in the 90s when I originally applied.
Oh, my gosh. I see where this is going
so
now.
So I'm reading all this stuff, and I'm like, Dustin, okay, cool. Celine Russo, cool. So I just picked up the phone, and I called Maui Surfer Girls. And I said, hey, I'm looking to speak to Celine Russo. And she hopped on the phone, and I introduced myself to her. And I said, hey, I'm paraphrasing. This is Zach Adair. I'm getting ready to graduate from Prescott College. This is a little bit about my story. And I was wondering if you have just any idea of any, you know, blind surf camps or any kind of surf camps that something that I could use my skill set with my circumstance.
Right.
And Celine goes, you know what? I don't know of any programs, but I have a lot of really good ideas. And I go, sweet. I was like, what are they? And she kind of laughed. She goes, I'm not telling you. She's like, I don't know you, man.
Oh,
she goes,
gosh.
You just cold called me. And I'm not going to share my ideas with you. Why? Yeah. So you can go start a business?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, sort of.
Yeah.
Of course that's what
yeah, exactly.
Do, you know? And so, so that conversation ended. And I said, look, I'm getting ready to head to Costa Rica. Do you mind if I call you? You know, at some point, I might have some other questions. She goes, yep, absolutely. Call me anytime. And so that conversation led to another conversation, right?
Yep.
And, Celine and I have been together for 15 years now, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Uh-huh. So those ideas that she had, she actually ended up sharing them with me.
Yeah, it sounds
like. It took some time, right? It took some time for us to get to know each other, as she requested, right?
Yep.
And then, as I finished up my undergrad, I ended up staying in school and getting my master's degree as well from Prescott College in adventure education. And during that process, Celine and I, we developed a business plan. We wrote policies and procedures.
Yep.
And we launched NCOAE in the spring of 2009.
Unbelievable.
That was it.
That's where it started.
Done and done. And here we are. Now we're, we serve... we serve about 1,200 students a year.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, EMT programs, wilderness medicine, and outdoor ed programs. We run multi-day canoe expeditions in the Everglades. We have relationships with the indigenous tribes in the Amazon and Ecuador, where we take students and spend several days on the Amazon River.
Unbelievable.
Going into the Amazon, we climb the Andes Mountains. We have a lot of fun, man.
Sounds like
it. Yeah, it's tons of fun.
So, just to put the kind of the scale of in perspective for everybody, from 2009 to where you are today, you know, you say you've served 1,200 students a year. You're all over the world. You know, at during the peak time during the summer, how many employees do you guys have working for you? What'd you say?
Uh, 35 to 50.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what I'm trying to say here is, you know, it's not just some small little school, you know, in North Carolina. You guys have built a legitimate big business that is, you know, renowned around throughout the country and then many places around the world.
That's right.
And you've done this all, you know, based on your story as a blind man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny. I've been, you know, we've been working together for almost about a year and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
And I never knew the story about how you met Celine. So when you're saying, you know, I called up Maui Surf Girls and this Celine Russo, all of a sudden this light bulb went off in my head. I was like, oh my gosh, that's how you guys met.
That's when I got my first. When I got my first Facebook page, dude. It's a buddy of mine was like, all right, so I've been talking to this girl, Celine.
Yeah.
Jump on the website and see if there's any photos of her.
Yeah.
Right. And he's like, no, none there. But I bet she does on her Facebook page.
Yeah.
He's like, but you got to have one.
So that's how you. So the reason you started your first Facebook page was so that you could snoop on Celine.
You needed to troll around on this woman, man.
Oh man, that is so funny.
So I let my dear friend. He's such a still a dear friend of mine, and he's actually my ski guide. He's been my only ski guide, Wix Walker, for. 18 years now. He's been skiing with me as a blind guy.
Unbelievable.
Every day.
We haven't missed a
year. What a guy. Missed a year.
So Celine passed his test on behalf of you to be able to get. That's wild.
It was great. It was a good story.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So that's you know, Chris, it's I don't know if you've ever read the book "Let My People Go Surfing."
I have not, but it sounds like one that I should.
You know, it's Yvon Chouinard, the founder and owner of Patagonia.
That's right.
Right. Yep. And it's his theories in business development.
Right.
It's an amazing book, and one of his quotes is he talks about the search for the Holy Grail. Mm-hmm. He says nobody really gives a shit about the Holy Grail. It's the quest that's important.
Yeah.
Right. It's the transformation within yourself that matters.
The journey.
Right. So it's that journey. It's adversity. And you know, there was days that when Celine and I started this school that Alfred and I were, my senior guide dog and myself were leading these expeditions in the mm-hmm. backcountry.
Yeah.
Right. And there's been a couple of times where he stopped in front of a 6-foot rattlesnake. Right? And I'm like, thank you very much.
Thank you, Alfred.
Thank you, Alfred.
Holy right? crap.
With 8 kids behind us, or 10 kids, or adults, or whoever's on our expeditions with us, right? So that's been, but it's that transformation, man. And it's the people that we put around us. You know, my theory on this, and I think with everybody, is making sure that we're putting ourselves around people that know a lot more than us. You know what I mean?
And to have the humility to do that, right? Because so many people are like, I know everything. I'm the best. I started this business. I just need people, and I'm going to tell them what to do.
That's it.
Typically, that doesn't work out.
Typically, it doesn't work. But you put people around you that know a lot more, that are subject matter experts, right? You know, we know what we're good at. I know what I'm good at. Yep. I know what I'm not good at.
Right.
Right? And trying to stay in that lane.
Yep.
And it's been quite the journey, man. It's been quite the quest, and the transformations occurred, and you learn a lot, right? As long as you're vulnerable and okay to be humbled along the way.
That's right.
You know what
I
mean?
That's right. So tell me a little bit about what's your day-to-day like as the owner and the executive director of NCOAE?
You know, it's a lot of back It's a lot of backroom work.
Yeah.
Right. People don't. It's a lot of the work that you and I do. Right. It's forecasting. It's financial planning. It's strategizing. It's brand development, brand identity. It's getting in front of different accreditation boards. It's getting in front of other leaders within our space.
Right.
In order to get our brand out there,
yeah.
right? And understanding too that being comfortable with the scalability of where we are and where we want to be, right? Because we're in here talking about business and lifestyle,
right?
And it's an interesting concept when you talk about being a business owner and having a lifestyle. Because I was thinking about this, last night, and. The balance between the two of them, I think on the onset, it doesn't exist, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're so excited about starting a business. We're so excited about putting all the energy and the work that we're doing. It's like, okay, this is kind of our lifestyle right now, is like putting all of our energy into this.
Yep.
And it's kind of like the cliche that I started with, right? You love what you do. You don't work a day in your life.
Yeah.
I think it falls into that category. But after 15 years, then it's like, okay, now let's talk about my lifestyle.
Let's dial that back a little bit.
Yeah. It's been great and it's been fun. And how do you balance, I think when you're starting a business, it's how do you balance your responsibilities?
Right.
Right? How do you balance your responsibilities? Maybe not necessarily your lifestyle, but your responsibilities, because you're just so damn excited about this opportunity that you're in.
Yeah.
And you see that the sky's the limit.
Yep.
And of course you're going to be working 14, 16 hour days, man. Right.
I feel like you're describing me right now with kind of like, you know, mm-hmm. the onset and To keep off, because what you're saying is so perfect, and it resonates so much with what I'm doing right now and being able to work with mm-hmm. you and stuff. But so 15 years, you know, you spending all this time, you know, building this business, and now what I want to, you know, point out is, you know, when you talked about, when you explained what you do on a day-to-day, is you're working on the business, right? You're working on big picture, long term, you know, where are we going, driving the ship. And you've been able to do that because you've been, you know, you've realized the importance of having that foresight, but you've also built a team around you that can run the day-to-day operations.
Well, exactly. Right? And that's that kind of what I was mentioning, right? Putting people around you that are better than you.
Yep.
Right? Putting like, I'm not a great program director, mm-hmm. right? A director of operations.
Right.
Or a course director.
Right.
I used to be, but you know, it's there's people now, right, that are younger,
yeah.
that are have a little more wit, right, that are better at certain things. So making sure that I continue to keep those people involved and happy to run the day to day. And you know, and it's gotten to the point, Chris, too. We going back to the lifestyle that, you know, I don't necessarily have to be there 5 days a week, 12 hours a day anymore.
Yeah.
Right? I get to now enjoy some of the my lifestyle a little bit more and do some of the things that I actually want to do.
Right.
Right. And that's kind of where my focus is going to be over the next bunch of years.
That's all. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So in our last like 10 minutes here, let's talk about the future for the Adair family and Zach and, mm-hmm. and what that, you know, and how you're going to juggle that and what the plans are with everything.
Well, you know, it's sustainability. Right, is kind of my focus within COAE right now, is sustainability and scalability if it organically presents itself. Yep. Again, the past 15 years, Selene and I have worked so hard to put the business in the position that it, put the school in the position that it is right now, yeah. and it's successful.
It is.
You know, we're thriving right now. It still comes with its challenges, man. You know, the whole country's dealing with staffing issues right now, right? Yep. In the business world, we know that.
Yep.
And so, finding the right people, finding the brand fit that's gonna come in and be happy with where they are.
Yeah,
that's a struggle that we're always gonna have. I think all of us are always gonna have that one.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I think so.
The future. You know, I'm a general contractor on the side. It's my hobby.
Yeah.
You know, I still like to play with my hands a little bit.
Yeah.
And I like to be on job sites, and I like to. So, lots more surfing this year.
Yeah.
That's in my future for sure.
Yeah.
You know, we're in such a unique position, my family and I, because of the places that we've been all over the world and because of the business that we have, that we're able to travel a lot,
right?
And we can mix work with play.
Yep.
Call it work, but it's kind of play when we go down to Patagonia or we're going to Ecuador or, you know, and so that's been really nice since Sawyer's been born. He's 12, so for him to be able to have that experience and travel the world with us has been really rad.
What a great experience to grow up with that opportunity.
You know, my future looks like really trying to that work play balance at this point.
Yeah.
Right? And that's where I want my focus to be.
Yeah.
Work, play. That's where I want to be.
Yeah. You know, it's success and work life balance is a subjective term for everybody, right?
Totally,
and it's different at different stages in life. You know, when you were first starting your business, you know, working 16 hours a day every day, like that was exhilarating. It was fun. That was your work life balance. Like, you know, that was it. But now, you know, you've got a family, you've got a 12-year-old son, you've got this, you know, successful business, and now you're kind of like, all right, I'm going to start focusing more on different things.
On me.
Yeah, on you.
On me a little bit.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So tell us what it's like. I mean, you know, for people that are listening and they're like, you know, this guy's awesome. I love his philosophy on life. I love what he's done. you know, my kids are in, you know, middle school, high school or whatever. And, you know, it would be really cool for them to go, you know, experience NCOAE and, you know, take, you know, do something in the outdoors and, you know, get some of that experience. What are, you know, what would you say to that parent that is looking for, you know, some, you know, like a program? What would, you know, what are specifically, you know, what would my son learn at, you know, 12 days in the wilderness, you know, with NCOAE? Like, what is he learning at that, during that?
You know, that's a great question. And we could talk for another couple hours just on that topic,
yeah.
Right? I was listening to an article this morning about, and this is a kind of an ongoing conversation that we have, at least nationally, which is what social media is doing to doing to the brains of our children,
yeah.
Right? And it's
don't
like
even,
3.5 hours a
don't
day.
Even get
I mean, that's
started
average
that.
Is like 3.5 hours a day on this stuff, right? So. The first thing that they're going to get is not their iPhones for 12 days.
Yeah,
right?
That's
going
awesome.
With us, right?
I love it.
Not going to have their cell phones for 12 days.
Yeah.
You know, Chris, we live in such this, we're in such a unique situation right now, right, nationally and globally, and where the world is today. And it's made such this, been such a huge paradigm shift over the past decade even, right? And the exposure that students have to the outdoors, the opportunities that the students have just to be quiet,
mm-hmm.
right? To be within their own minds for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
right? To have their own thoughts,
mm-hmm.
right? To think about their own opinions, right? To think about their own problems and how we're going to solve, you know, and yep. we just don't get that opportunity anymore. It's very, very far and few between.
Yeah.
And I don't know that parents, what are the parents? The parents are, they're going to be millennials pretty soon, right?
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
so, and even they have missed out on that opportunity as well. So they're uneducated about what's out there to, not help their, this isn't about something's, wrong with your kids. Something's wrong with our society,
right?
And now we have an opportunity that we can offer these kids to, and adults and everybody to, hey, let's go explore the Andes and Summit of Peak, right?
Mm-hmm.
17,000 feet,
yeah.
Right? And leave our cell phones at home, and let's go be pushed through some challenges,
yeah.
Right? I said something earlier about, it's hard to be successful if you're just comfortable,
yeah.
all the time, right? And everything's convenient.
And everything's handed to you.
Yeah,
and convenient.
But
and...
but I think that we can find that success when we're uncomfortable and we face challenges and struggles, and we can find those things in the outdoors unintentionally.
Exactly.
Right, unintentionally. I'm not giving them to you, but you're going to experience those. So even just sleeping in the tent, right? Sleeping
yeah.
in a tent one night. Could be like the most challenging thing someone does.
Right.
And that alone could be enough to say, "Whoa, I did it."
That's
wow.
so cool.
Right? So, you know, it's the experience is one night sleeping in a tent or climbing 17,000 feet in the Andes.
Yeah.
Right?
It could be different for
everybody. But just being able to have that experience to be out there in the wilderness and wild places, yeah, it's life changing.
And the sense of accomplishment that you get from, hey, I overcame this obstacle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, whether it's sleeping in a tent for a night or summiting a 17,000 foot peak or living the first part of your life being able to see and experience the full variety of life and then waking up the next day and not being able to see. I mean, people mm-hmm. have different levels of challenge and you know, it's just all of that, the way that it connects with personal development and business development, you know, because starting a business is not easy.
Mm-mm.
And I think that, you know, people, you know, can you know, listening to your story puts a lot in perspective.
Well, it helps folks prepare for adversity.
Yeah.
Right? It helps us all prepare. And I don't think we're faced with enough of that. Right. Yeah. Because everything's so handed to us these days.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So let's get out and be challenged a little bit.
There you go.
We can do that in the outdoors.
Let's do it. So tell me where can we find NCOAE? How do we get in touch with you? How can I, you know, get my kids, or, you know, maybe I run a business and I'd love to do like a you know, like a team building or something like that. How do I find you? How do I get in touch with you?
www.ncoae.org.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you guys have social media platforms?
All of them. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok.
Awesome.
Yep, all of them.
Cool. Well, Zach, thank you so much for joining me. And
thanks,
it's been a pleasure to work with you and call you a colleague for the last year and a half. And I have to say, the Adairs and NCOE were my first client, you know, as I started my new business, Capone and Associates. And it's only so fitting to have you on the show as one of the first guests. And it's just been a pleasure to get to know you as a person and work with you, and look forward to what the future brings for all of us.
Onward and upward.
Onward and upward.
Thanks, brother.
Awesome. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate it, bro. Thank you guys for joining. Go check out Zach. Go check out NCOAE. And go enjoy life. Go challenge yourself.